Good morning. This is Abby with your Daily Berlin Briefing for Tuesday, June 11th, 2019. Today, in 1959, the SRN-1, the world's first hovercraft, made its first hover. The same vehicle would cross the English Channel on July 25th of the same year. A rent cap could come to Berlin at the beginning of January of 2020. The Senator for Urban Development, Katrin Lampscher of the Left, plans to pass a corresponding law in the Senate on June 18th. The key points of the draft state that the rents for all flats not subject to fixed prices are to be frozen for 5 years. Social dwellings are excluded because the special right of the cost rent system continues to apply to them. Newly built flats that have never been rented are also excluded. The draft was drawn up on the initiative of the Berlin SPD. In exceptional cases, the rent can be increased within 5 years, according to the planned law. This is when the building has been modernized and the landlord receives permission to increase the rent. In these cases, the landlord must apply for a permit from the Investitionsbank Berlin, or the IBB. If the IBB issues the permit, the rent can be increased to the agreed amount. Landlords can also claim economic hardship cases. Here, too, the IBB investigates at the landlord's request whether there's a case of economic hardship, and if necessary, grants permission to increase the rent within the 5 years. Violations of the rental price cap will be regarded as an administrative offense and will result in a fine of up to 500,000 euros. And if tenants suspect that new regulations have been violated, they can report this to the district office or to the IBB. Tenants who believe that their rent is too high can also request that their rent be evaluated. If necessary, the landlord must reduce the rent to the permitted level after doing so. The rent cap is controversial among experts because tenancy law is actually the responsibility of the federal government. Experts came to different conclusions as to whether the rent cap was legally feasible. According to Kai Warnecke, president of the landlord association Haus und Grund Deutschland, the rent cap won't help tenants. All comparisons with European cities where such a rent cap was introduced showed that it would lead to apartments of lesser quality. He also fears that in the long run, the rental housing market will shrink and collapse because apartments will become condominiums. The opposition in the Berlin House of Representatives is also critical of the Senate's plans. The FDP said on Wednesday that the rent cap would not lead to any long-term relief on the housing market, as no new housing would be created with the measure. Instead, the FDP suggests a new building offensive in order to lower rents. In the opinion of the CDU, the rent cap is in danger of being lost before the Constitutional Court anyway. The Berliner Verkehrsbetriebe has received approval to buy 90 more electric buses. On Friday, the supervisory board of the state-owned company gave the go-ahead for a corresponding major order. The supplier of the buses will only be announced in 2 weeks' time after the expiration of the objection period. The new order would almost triple the BVG's e-bus share in the coming year to a total of around 140 vehicles. And by 2030, the Red-Red-Green Senate is calling for the entire BVG bus fleet, which currently consists of 1,400 vehicles, to be converted to one without combustion engines. This will be a very expensive undertaking, however. The battery-powered electric buses preferred by the Berlin Senate are considerably more expensive than buses with diesel engines. According to the BVG, the 30 single-decker buses, including the charging technology, cost about 600,000 euros per piece, or a total of 18 million euros. The order volume for the 15 Solaris articulated buses is estimated at 14 million euros, including charging infrastructure, which is the equivalent of more than 90,000 euros per vehicle. Depending on their size, conventional buses cost between 250,000 and 450,000 euros. According to the umbrella organization of municipal transport companies, VDV, the hope that larger quantities will make e-buses cheaper has not yet been fulfilled. On the contrary, the high demand has initially led to an increase in prices. So far, the high purchase costs have not been reflected in the BVLG balance sheet because the transport companies do not have to pay more per e-bus than for the purchase of a diesel-powered bus due to the various federal subsidy programs. However, it's questionable whether this will remain the case in the long term. The transport companies have a second economic efficiency problem as well. The current battery technology considerably limits the possible service life of e-buses. According to the Berliner Morgenpost, the new e-buses can do a half-day job at best and then have to drive back to the depot in Weißensee to recharge the batteries. According to BVLG, the rest of the day is then covered by conventional diesel buses. However, BVLG points out that each of the new vehicles will first undergo an acceptance and test program lasting several weeks, quote, in order to guarantee high operational quality and safety for passengers and staff. During the test phase, the e-buses will be used in different ways. In mornings and evenings, for example, they'll be used for several hours with intermediate charging at the depot or continuously from noon until night. Each day, the buses will travel around 140 kilometers, with the distance from the charging station at the depot to the scene of operation and back alone being 14 kilometers. The bottom line is a range of just 125 kilometers. Conventional diesel buses can cover 600 to 700 kilometers per day. These figures describe the dilemma in which the BVLG finds itself. The majority of bus routes through the city are comparatively long. The M48, for example, has a distance around 16 kilometers from Busseallee in Zehlendorf to Alexanderplatz in Mitte, stopping at 43 bus stops. Similar distances are covered by the M29, Hermannplatz to Rosenegg, or the M85 from Lichterfeld Süd to Hauptbahnhof. After a maximum of 4 rounds, outward and return journey, the e-bus would have to return to the charging station on lines like this, and this is already the optimum variant. Many intermediate stops and the associated frequent starting increase energy consumption and reduce the possible operating distance accordingly. In addition, the minimum range of 150 kilometers promised by manufacturers is also influenced by the weather. If it's particularly cold, or as in these days, hot, the already small range is further reduced. For this reason, BVLG initially selected only relatively short connections for e-bus use. A major reform is also planned for the next timetable change in August, in which existing lines will be adapted to the reduced range of e-buses, or completely new lines will be introduced. But the e-buses preferred by the Senate not only have an economic efficiency problem, they are also highly controversial from an environmental policy point of view. This is mainly due to the large batteries in which the energy for the electric motors is stored. For example, the extraction of the rare earth minerals and metal lithium required for batteries is not only energy intensive, but also causes major environmental damage in the mining countries, all of which are outside Europe. An ARD report shows how huge areas in the Argentine Andes are being destroyed for lithium mining and poisoned with chemicals. The already scarce drinking water is also being withdrawn from the indigenous population in these areas. Added to this are the high energy costs involved in battery production. According to a study by the Swedish IVL Institute, battery production produces around 150 to 200 kilograms of carbon dioxide equivalents per kilowatt hour of storage capacity. Applied to the battery of a Tesla Model S, this means a CO2 footprint of 17.5 tons. In comparison, a similar vehicle with a conventional combustion engine could be driven for 8 years before it has as much impact on the environment as the Tesla battery. It's also for these reasons that the Berlin Passenger Association, IGUB, criticizes the Senate's plans to convert the BVLG bus fleet to battery technology by 2030 at a cost of billions. According to IGUB spokesman Jens Wiesecke, the money should be better invested in electric vehicles that do not require large lithium-ion batteries. Above all, IGUB is calling for the expansion of the tramway, which draws its energy from overhead lines. One possibility would be the trolley bus, as it drove until 1965 in Spandau and Stieglitz and until 1973 in the former eastern part of Berlin. The BVG announced to examine the reconstruction of the trolley bus network, at least for Spandau. The cultural village Holzmarkt am Spreeufer is in a dispute with the district. The background to this is considerable noise violations and complaints, as explained by Andy Hemke of the SPD, member of the City Council for Economic Affairs. The Holzmarkt operators are now being instructed to stop serving drinks at 9 p.m. on weekdays and weekends, otherwise the district will not renew their permit. Konstantin Krex of the Holzmarkt Cooperative sees the economic existence of their Friedrichshain project threatened. For him, the ruling of the district was completely incomprehensible, as the area is located on a four-lane road, the city and long-distance railway viaduct, and the Spree Federal Waterway, which is used exclusively by ships and boats. Krex emphasized that the social and cultural facilities on the site, such as theaters, studios, and music schools, are certainly, quote, financed through the sale of drinks. In the end, the majority of district councilors took the side of the Holzmarkt makers. In an emergency motion tabled by the left, SPD, CDU, FDP, and Die Partei, they called on the district office to suspend the regulation on serving drinks, which is the incentive for visitors and guests to visit the site at all. The decrees were of the opinion that the district office had not yet made it clear why the regulation was made. Instead, the old dispensing system, which did not end at 9 p.m., is to be reinstated until October 31st. The district office was asked to explain at the next meeting after the summer break in August why the introduction of a curfew should take place. The request was accepted by a majority vote of the requesting parties. According to a report in the Berliner Morgenpost, Monika Grütters of the CDU, Minister of State for Culture, wants one free visit per month to the museums of the Prussian Cultural Heritage Foundation. These include 15 buildings under the federal government's control, including the museums on the Museuminsel and Hamburger Bahnhof. The background is the announcement by Senator of Culture Klaus Lederer of the Left that the Berlin State Museums will open one Sunday a month without admission. Grütters told the newspaper that if this were to be implemented, the federal museums would, quote, of course, go along with it. According to Grütters, in the future, the German Historical Museum and the Jewish Museum will only cost admission to the special exhibitions, stating, quote, I think it's important for the state to make an attractive offer, especially in view of the upheavals in society in which people can come to grips with our history. She also wants to negotiate the ideas in the budget committee of the Bundestag and is, quote, very sure that she will succeed. To stay updated on local Berlin news every weekday, subscribe to our podcast by visiting berlinbriefing.de, hear us on Spotify and bearradio.org, follow us on social media, or enable our Alexa skill. Berlin Briefing will be back tomorrow. Thanks for listening.